What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
First of all, so sorry this episode is delayed. We had some unforeseeable events occur. So nothing major, nothing, you know, nothing crazy, but we had to push the episode back a couple of days. So sorry about that, but you guys are so chill and understanding and we appreciate that. So
we appreciate your guys' patience. And if you're not listening to this like in real time when it comes out, then you probably won't even notice. So
disregard this message. Okay, so today's case that I'm going to be sharing with you guys was suggested by some of our listeners, Katie and Lucy, as well as a few others. So thank you so much for sending that case suggestion in. And also, if you have a case suggestion that you would like us to cover, you can visit our website, inhumanpodcast.com. We actually have a little case suggestion form that you can fill out. Or you can email us at inhumanmonsterpod@gmail.com.
Yes, you can. And we love case suggestions because there are just so many out there. And it's always so difficult to decide like which ones to do. So when we get suggestions, it makes it a little bit easier to like, let's pick that one, especially if it's one that has been suggested several times. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like I've learned about so many cases from our listeners suggesting that I like would have never heard about before.
That's what I was going to say is like, I feel like a lot of the disappearance cases that I have covered, especially like lately, have been like suggested by our listeners. And, you know, they might be like, quote unquote, smaller cases in the sense that they haven't gotten, you know, national media attention or whatever.
But those are the ones that need
to be covered. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one, I feel like, is a little bit in that category. This is a case from the UK. So obviously we probably haven't heard too much about it here in the States. The name did look familiar to me, but I didn't really know a lot of details. But let's just go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
On September 14th, 2007, 14-year-old Andrew Gostin embarked on a mysterious journey that led to his unexplained disappearance. Andrew, who was from Doncaster, South Yorkshire, made the decision to skip school. He withdrew £200 from his bank account, and he purchased a one-way ticket to London.
Ooh, that doesn't seem good.
Yeah. CCTV footage captured Andrew's final known moments at King's Cross Station in London. It showed him exiting the train station alone.
Okay.
Despite efforts by law enforcement agencies and Andrew's family, Andrew seemingly vanished into the city without a trace, leaving behind a distraught family desperately seeking answers.
That's so sad.
And there's just so minimal information that, I mean, it literally seems like he just poofed
vanished into thin air.
Yep.
Wow.
Andrew was born on July 10th, 1993 to Kevin and Glynis Gostin. He grew up in the suburb of Balby in Doncaster, England, and was raised in a household that embraced open-mindedness and exploration. Kevin and Glynis were both devout Anglican Christians, but made a deliberate choice not to baptize their children. In an interview with The Telegraph back in 2008, they revealed that their decision stemmed from a desire to allow their children the freedom to navigate their own beliefs and paths without imposition.
I love that. Which, that's like really respectful, I feel like.
Yeah, I commend them for that because, you know, as a parent, of course, you want to foster that relationship that you have with whatever faith system that you believe in, but you want your child to like naturally come to that, not feel like they're being forced into it.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like more, I mean, obviously I'm not very like religious and don't follow religion that closely, but it's appreciated from like the perspective of somebody who isn't religious and like that wasn't pushed at all is like, you know, I was given the choice to like, if I wanted to pursue religion and like learn more about it, I had that opportunity, but I also wasn't like pushed into that. So I just feel like that's a really respectful way to go about it and to parent. And,
I agree.
You know, like you said, even if you do like want to foster that relationship, you can do that without like pushing your child into it.
Yeah.
And then the relationship that they have with whatever religion probably becomes more like better because they're making the choice to have that relationship.
Yeah. And as like, you know, I don't like the word religious because like I don't think I'm religious. Like I'm spiritual and I have like a faith, like a, you know, faith-based beliefs or whatever that follow a lot of the Christian beliefs. But and I kind of did have that growing up where, I mean, I wasn't like forced, but like we had to go to church, you know, on the, you know, every Sunday and all the holidays and everything like that. But then it came to a point like in my teenage and like early 20 years where it wasn't really forced on me necessarily. But I see that happen in a lot of families where the parents like force their children, like shove it down their throat. And then it comes to a point where they are just so sick of it that they go off the other side of the spectrum.
Go completely away. Yeah.
That can definitely backfire for parents. And like I said, I commend them for, you know, giving their children the spiritual freedom to do whatever.
Yeah, me too.
Andrew had one sister, Charlotte, and though they enjoyed their separate hobbies and interests, like Andrew and his love of reading Harry Potter and Alex Rider books.
Heck yeah, I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
Me too. And Charlotte, who embraced the mid-2000s goth scene, adorning black hair and all, the siblings still bonded over their shared love for rock music and metal bands. So even though they had their, you know, little differences, they were bonded in that like commonality.
That's awesome.
Andrew was a remarkable student at the Macaulay Catholic High School, where he was placed in the Young, Gifted, and Talented program. Andrew typically achieved straight A's and showcased his talent and expertise in mathematics, which could not be me.
No, same.
Could not be me. I can't even like do basic math on the spot. Like if you say what's whatever and whatever, you guys have heard it here on the podcast, you know, I'm just like brain shuts down, mind goes blank, birds chirping, crickets, all the things.
Oh yeah. Same. And my husband is an engineer and like in college did like every single level of calculus you could imagine.
Wow.
And I went to like Calc 3, I think I had to take in college was like the highest. And I was like, I did okay in it at the time, but now I'm like, what did I even do? Like, yeah, how did I do that? And yeah, like long division is like the most confusing thing ever.
I actually like long division.
Really? Okay, you're weird.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I don't mind.
I know some people don't like when we go on tangents, but I just have to say this because my little sister is a teacher and she was telling me how different everything is now. Like the way that they teach math and like long division and everything is so much different than how we learned it. And I'm just like, that would have been nice to have when we were growing up. But also I'm terrified for when my kids are in school because I'm not going to be able to do.
You're going to have to learn it. Yeah. I know. I think about that all the time. I'm like, one day Manny's going to come to me with math problems, which luckily Matt, my husband, he is really good at math. So I'll be like, that's on you. You take that.
That's perfect.
I'll do like the science and English and that kind of fun stuff. So
yeah.
So with Andrew's numerous accolades, it seemed he had a very promising future and could easily attend the prestigious University of Cambridge.
Wow.
So he was like top tier intelligent, even at such a young age.
Wow.
Prior to Andrew's disappearance, he had refrained from attending church with his family for about 18 months. Andrew was also a devoted Cub Scout, but he had recently disclosed to his father that he had decided to disengage from the group, which struck his parents as odd. But as I previously mentioned, Kevin and Glynis were big on the belief that their children should have complete body autonomy.
Autonomy.
That's what I said.
Oh, it sounded like you said autonomy.
Oh, no.
Okay. I was like, that's a weird word. Yeah. Okay. That's really respectful.
Yeah. Andrew was described by his family as a home bird, which I guess is like a homebody, like we would say in this
case. Yeah.
And a bit introverted, and noted that whenever he did leave his house, he always communicated his whereabouts.
Okay. So it kind of sounds like maybe he was pulling away from some things, but maybe he was just going through like a change in what he was like wanting to be involved in. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. So he had a phone. Okay. So he had a couple of different phones, like, over the last couple of years before he disappeared, but he just wasn't big on that. Like, he wasn't big on like texting and calling his friends, and he would lose his phone and then they would get him another one. And he had actually recently gotten a phone and then he lost it. So he didn't have a means of communication.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons why, like, they, you know, weren't able to necessarily like track him or, you know, have his cell phone ping or anything like that after he went missing. But
okay. And what year was this?
This was in 2007. So,
okay. So, I mean, cell phones were around, but it wasn't like it is today where it's like every single person has a cell phone.
Right. Yeah. Andrew's teachers had nothing but positive things to say about him as well. They described Andrew as a shy and quiet young man who displayed a remarkable level of maturity well beyond his years. In addition, the teachers noted that Andrew showed no signs of depression and there were no obvious indications that he had experienced any form of bullying during his time at school.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean it didn't happen necessarily, you know?
But it wasn't like super obvious.
Yeah, it wasn't like brought to their attention or anything like that. When the Gostins returned home that evening, the evening that Andrew disappeared, they assumed that he was home, immersed in video games, or working on his homework in his room.
Well, and like you said, he would tell them when he was leaving the house.
Right. So they had no reason to think he wasn't there because they got home from work after he would typically get home from school.
Right. So, yeah, that's totally like understandable to assume he's just like in his room, especially with like a teenager. Yeah. You're like, you know, they do their own thing. Them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Don't engage unless they approach you first. Because you never know what you're going to get.
They're wild animals.
They really are. Would never, ever want to go back to those years. Ever.
No, me neither.
So when his parents came to the realization that Andrew was actually not in the confines of their home, they suspected he maybe went down the street to hang out with some friends or a neighbor and just lost track of time. Upon contacting his friends, the family was met with the alarming revelation that Andrew was not with them and had, in fact, never even made it to school that day.
That's so scary. I mean, we've talked about this before, but like that realization of we don't know where he is and nobody knows where he is must be so terrifying.
Yeah, no, definitely. Around 7 p.m., his parents made the decision to contact the authorities. His sister Charlotte, in an interview with BBC, vividly recalled the onset of terror she and her family felt, stating, quote, "It was just a complete panic. We initially thought something must have happened on the way to school. When we found out that he hadn't even been to school, even tried to go to school, that was even more worrying."
Yeah. Oh.
As investigators delved into the circumstances surrounding Andrew's disappearance, the central question remained, what happened on September 14th and where did Andrew go? There are not many details from that day, but I'll share what police have been able to surmise based on the little evidence they were able to gather. Andrew was last seen at 8:30 a.m. as he was heading down Littlemore Lane toward Westfield Park in Balby, Doncaster. Andrew returned home after pretending to go to school once his parents left for work. He promptly changed out of his school uniform. He made his way to his bank and withdrew approximately 200 pounds. Without leaving a note behind, he headed to Doncaster Station, where he purchased a one-way ticket to London's King's Cross. Interestingly, reports suggest that despite the option, Andrew refused a return ticket, even though the cost was comparable.
That's really bizarre.
I know. That gave me like a sinking feeling when I read that, because it almost feels like he wasn't planning to return. But like, again, that's just complete speculation. So
yeah,
maybe he just didn't want to pay that little bit extra for the return ticket.
And I don't know how train tickets and return tickets work, but like,
yeah,
would it have had to be for a specific time that he was returning, or would it just be like a return ticket? Because I feel like if it's for a specific time, he might have been like, oh, I don't know when I'm going to go back. So
right. That's what I was thinking too, because I'm not really sure as far as the way they do the tickets, like ticketing either. Okay. I would assume you would have to pick a specific time.
Yeah, because
I don't know, then
that would make sense, or a little more sense, or at least like some sort of explanation of it being like he just didn't want to. He didn't know, like, for whatever reason, what time he was going to be heading back, so he didn't want to buy a return ticket. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew then boarded the train at 9:35 a.m. in Doncaster, and he was seen arriving at London King's Cross Station at 11:20 a.m.
So we know he made it to London.
Yeah, and they have him on CCTV footage exiting the train station. So he made it there, and then he left the station and then vanished.
And that's so scary, because like then he's just in a big city and he could literally be anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah. And the fact that he's not spotted, I mean, obviously I'm sure they didn't review every single CCTV footage in the whole area of London, because that would be insane. That would be impossible. Mm-hmm. I feel like, but just the fact that he wasn't spotted anywhere.
Yeah, he could have literally gone in like any direction, and there's no way, if they didn't see him on any other footage, there's no way to like even try to track where he was.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
I know. Despite the South Yorkshire police's efforts in releasing the CCTV footage from King's Cross Station on the day he went missing, there have been no confirmed sightings of Andrew since.
Wow. Vanished into thin air.
Literally. Investigators conducted computer forensic at Andrew's school, the local public library where he spent a lot of his time, and his home. Their efforts, however, yielded no evidence or clues indicating the direction of his intended destination the day he went missing. Because like I mentioned, he didn't have a phone. He wasn't communicating with people. So their only other option theory was maybe he was communicating with someone
online, you
know, online, and they
meet up. That's a really good theory, and I feel like that's the only thing that makes sense to me, because why else is he just randomly going into the city
and not telling anyone?
Not telling anyone, ditching school. Mm-hmm. Like, that's weird.
Things that were completely out of character for him. Like, this is not something that he did. He didn't ditch school. He was a good student, you know? He didn't want to miss school. He wanted to be more challenged by school. Like, he kind of would make jokes with his family, like, wow, school's so boring. Like, it needs to be harder. Right. It's like a breeze, you know? So
it doesn't make any sense that he would just ditch school.
Right. And then, you know, once they looked through all the computer evidence, they found nothing. So again, it's like, where was he going? Why?
Yeah.
Why? In December of 2021, South Yorkshire police made headlines when two men were arrested under suspicion of kidnapping and human trafficking in connection with the disappearance of Andrew.
Whoa.
However, after a two-year investigation, the men were officially cleared, and police stated that they had been excluded from the investigation.
Wow. Okay.
Detective Chief Inspector Andy Knowles, who heads the inquiry, shared that their devices were seized and their alibis were explored. And that is what led to the conclusion that the arrested individuals were not involved in Andrew's disappearance.
So, like, to me, that seems like they really did an exhaustive investigation into these people.
I mean, it sounds like it.
And they really don't believe that they're involved, which is obviously very frustrating. But, wow.
Knowles stated, quote, "We're confident the two men arrested played no part in Andrew's disappearance and have been eliminated from our inquiries. However, the investigation remains open and active, and we would urge anyone with information to come forward." According to Andrew's father, Kevin, however, the South Yorkshire Police's handling of the investigation has been, quote, "too slow, too chaotic, and disorganized." He fears his son was met with some sort of foul play and that the police did not act with urgency in the beginning of the case. Knowing that Andrew could be a bit absent-minded and not especially streetwise, Kevin feared Andrew was in a potentially vulnerable situation and that someone took advantage of that.
So that's what I think. And agreed. You said he like played video games, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if he met somebody through video gaming.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why there's no evidence on like computers and chat rooms, because, you know, if he was just playing a video game with somebody and like chatting to them,
yeah,
he could have connected.
That's a like, good theory.
This is a totally random connection, but and you've probably never seen this movie, but one of the Home Alone movies, I want to say it's like Home Alone 4 or something, or maybe it's one of the newer ones.
Yeah.
But the kid is playing a video game and starts talking to somebody who ends up being an older man. And thankfully in the movie, this man actually like calls the police and like helps save the kid.
Oh.
But it's like, you know, he made this connection through just talking and playing. Yeah. And there's no like chat room trace or anything. And who knows how difficult wow. it would be to trace those types of things, especially back in 2007. There's like yeah. even less, you know, evidence and stuff. So I wonder if that's how he could have met somebody. And then that person convinced him to go into the city and then, you know, took advantage of him once he was there.
That's a really good theory, honestly, because like, just knowing, I mean, my husband is a pretty avid gamer. He goes through spells of like not playing for a long time and then like obsessing and playing every night.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, like he talks to people that he's not quote unquote like friends with. So they're not like on his friends list or whatever the equivalent is for gaming. Just random people that you're playing with. I mean, I guess they could maybe be able to figure out that information, but it's like,
it would be a lot
needle
harder.
Needle in a haystack, and yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to trace it as easily as like no. looking at the library computer or a public computer and see like, you know, there's no chat room evidence. And especially if they were just like talking.
True. Yeah.
Then there'd be no way to even trace that conversation. Yeah.
Because I don't think it like records all your voice like communication.
Probably, at least not like back then, back almost what, 7 years ago, speaking of being bad at math.
Yeah, 7 years ago. Because I know that,
you know, like
7 plus 7 is 14 and we're in 2024. That's how I do math.
Oh, Lord. Okay. 17 years ago?
Yeah. Wow.
But, you know, that was a long time ago. Not me thinking it's 2014, not 2024.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a, you know, technology has come a long way. So maybe nowadays that type of thing is recorded better. But, like,
who knows?
Back then, it probably yeah. wasn't. And it's probably way too late to even try to track anything yeah. related to that.
That's a really good theory, though. I didn't even think of that at all. Wow.
I just feel like that, like, would be the only thing that would make sense. Because I definitely think somebody took advantage of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, you know, how, like we said, how would they have done that if there's no record and he didn't have a cell phone or anything?
Yep.
So that could
that would be
a way
the
that
connection.
They could have contacted him.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So Kevin, he thinks that the reason his son may have been traveling to London was to visit the British Museum when he suddenly disappeared, because Andrew had recently spoken out about an interest in going there to see the, I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to try to say it, Tutankhamun exhibit.
Okay.
Which I think is, I don't want to say I think it's King Tut, but I think it's King Tut. I think it's like the Egyptian, what are they called?
Pharaoh.
Yeah, but it's like their tombs. This
says Tutankhamun. Oh, King Tut.
Yeah. Okay, so I was right.
King Tut. Yeah.
Myself on the back. Way to go.
Tutankhamun, according to Wikipedia, also known, as something else, was the pharaoh of the 18th dynasty of ancient Egypt.
Okay. All right. So I wasn't too far off. All right. Yeah. So he had told his dad he was interested in going to see this exhibit. I think it was only there for a short period of time. But again, the thing that doesn't make sense is, why wouldn't he tell his parents, or like have his parents go with him, or have his sister go with him? Why would he lie and do all these sneaky things?
And ditch school.
Yeah.
Unless
he was going there to meet somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is really weird.
Yeah. But I mean, it would make sense. I mean, his dad knows him pretty well. And he was wanting to see this exhibit, so it would make sense. Maybe he went there to do that, and crime of opportunity. Somebody snatched him.
Yeah. I definitely think there was something going sinister, on. But just the way that he was so sneaky about it makes me feel like he was, like, lured by somebody convinced him to come. And maybe they did convince him. Maybe he talked about wanting to go see that exhibit. And they were able to convince him, like, let's meet there. Yeah.
Yeah. Today, Kevin is an ambassador for the charity Missing People UK. And through that, he urges parents to put the charity's number in their children's phones where they can access free information if they are thinking of going missing.
Wow, that's brilliant and amazing that he's become a part of that.
I know, I agree. Kevin, along with his wife and daughter, created a site, like a website for Andrew called Help Us Find Andrew, which I will link in the show notes down below. But it basically goes over the details of Andrew's case as well as any case updates. And on the site, Andrew's family shares a letter that they wrote to him urging him to return home. And I'm just going to share that with you guys because I think it just shows the type of people that they are. It says, quote, "Dear Andrew, we have all missed you so much since the day you left. Not a day goes by that you are not on our minds constantly. You were always so witty, polite, caring, and intelligent that we desperately miss your company. The same is true of all your friends and the thousands of people who have prayed for you and helped us search for you. If you should ever read this, forget about any water under the bridge and please have no fear about making contact with us. We do not care where you have been or what lifestyle you choose for yourself. We only want to know that you are safe and well and to help and support you if we can. We remain as proud of you as we always have been and love you deeply. All our love, Dad, Mom, and Charlie."
Oh,
I know.
That just broke my heart. They just, like, are so desperate to reach him, and it's so sad.
I know it is. And it's like, you know, it's a lot of these cases, like, these kids come from rough childhoods and like rough family dynamics and like troublesome, troublemakers, or they're in troublesome situations. But like, it sounds like Andrew had a very tight-knit, loving, supportive family, and it just doesn't make sense why he would willingly go missing. It just doesn't add up for me.
I feel like 100% he either wanted to go to that, maybe he just really wanted to go to that exhibit and it was something he was really passionate about, and that's why he decided to skip school so that he could, you know, make it happen, or, you know, who knows, like, maybe he just really, really, really wanted to go and so he went, but then definitely somebody it was a crime of opportunity, yep, and somebody like was able to grab him. So I either think that or that he was lured that into London somehow, and yeah, you know, somebody was,
yeah,
planning to do something sinister.
Well, the whole time I was doing this research, I was thinking crime of opportunity. He went there to see the exhibit and had no intentions of meeting someone. But now that you've brought this other theory of how he could have potentially met someone, I'm right, leaning more towards that, because that would be, I mean, you get really close with these people that you meet. I mean, my stepson, he is an avid gamer. He has a huge friend group of all people that he has met through gaming.
Right.
These are his closest friends, even closer than the friends he grew up with and went to high school with, you know? So that makes a lot of sense as to that being the avenue of communication for someone to have lured him from his home.
Yeah. And they could have used the exhibit. Like, they could have just been chatting one day and he mentioned wanting to go see that exhibit. And then they were like, oh, you know what? I live in London. Let's meet up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. On the website, there are also several age progressed photos of Andrew, as well as an animated photo that changes his hairstyle and color, which is like the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I don't think I've ever seen that in any other missing persons cases. But it's like,
that's really smart, though.
Yeah, because he looks different with different hair. And then, like, he wore glasses. So there's like pictures of him with glasses, without glasses, because he could have worn contacts now. Like, he could look so different, you know?
Yeah, obviously, and especially if he was taken by somebody, like, they could have dyed his hair or something like that. So, yeah.
I think so. I mean, definitely check it out. I'll link the website down below, but it's a really neat thing that I think probably all missing persons websites should try to, you know.
Yeah, especially with today's technology, that can happen so easily.
Yeah. Over the years, various theories have emerged regarding Andrew's disappearance, ranging from kidnapping and human trafficking to suicide. Mm-hmm. However, there is little to no evidence to support most of those claims. Despite numerous leads and public appeals and over 122 unconfirmed sightings of Andrew, his case remains unresolved and shrouded in uncertainty and speculation. The search for Andrew Gostin continues, and the London police urge anyone with information to please come forward. You can call the South Yorkshire Police at 0114-220-2020 or Missing People UK at 116-000, or you can reach out to Crime Stoppers at 0800-555. And I will link all that down below as well. Time may pass, but the determination to uncover the truth remains steadfast. Andrew's family deserves answers, and he deserves justice. Andrew's case continues to baffle authorities and loved ones alike. His unexplained vanishing on that day has left a void in the hearts of his family and the community. At the time of his disappearance, Andrew was last seen wearing black jeans and a black Slipknot band t-shirt. Despite Andrew being 14, he looked much younger, more like 12, standing 5'3" tall with a slim build. He has light brown hair and brown eyes and wears strong prescription glasses. He has a very unique double ridge on the side of his right ear. This year, in July, Andrew would be turning 31 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So, as you can imagine, his family is desperate for any information. If you have seen him, if you know anything about him, please reach out to the Yorkshire Police. I mean, I just can't even imagine what could have possibly happened and why no one has seen him and why he was going where he was going that day. I mean, we could sit here and speculate till the cows come home, and it could be totally the opposite of what we're thinking.
Yeah.
But Again, I will link all the contact information. If you have any information leading to his whereabouts, please use those numbers that I shared and check out the website that his family created for him so you can see his age progress photos.
Yeah, and just because it's been so long does not mean there will never be answers, because we see cases be solved all the time. And so it's important to share stories like this because somebody had to have seen something.
Yeah. He didn't just fall off the face of the planet. Like, somebody took him.
Yeah.
Somebody took him. I'm confident in that. Somebody took him.
I am too. Wow. But I hope his family gets answers one day.
I know, I do too. I feel so sad for them. But that is all I have for you guys for the mysterious disappearance of Andrew Gostin. Thank you so much for listening. We will have a brand new case for you guys next week. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.